Well, hello, hello, and welcome to the Financial Wake-Up Call with Dave Crossan. And yes, I am Dave Crossan, and I want to put out there the triple thank yous. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everybody that has reached out to me about different topics to discuss, maybe looking for some additional clarity. That's what this podcast is all about, to put out some different ideas, different topics about estate planning, about investments, and maybe some different tax issues. And of course, we always like to lean on the experts, an accountant, a CPA, for any tax issues or tax questions we may have. And of course, any estate planning issues, we would like to lean on estate planning attorneys. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because in the next few episodes, I have some really great guests, and I'm not going to tell you the topics, but I promise you they will be informative, and definitely it'll be a nice conversation to really get into some really important topics. And speaking about important topics, I had a great conversation with a client of mine who is at the point of looking at different types of insurance and really wanted to review what the different options are out there. You know, what is term insurance? What is whole life? He's heard all these different things that are out there that, you know, should he invest this way or go that way, or should he buy this policy or that policy? And it can get very confusing. So it was a good conversation. Really what I did is I started the conversation off with, let's roll up the sleeves and talk about what are the different types of insurance. Really, let's get into it and let's talk about it. And then I'm thinking, David, the aha moment, I said, let's have that as a podcast. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about the five most common types of life insurance. And again, there's so many different types of insurance out there, and I'm only going to list five. But here we go. Let's talk about the different types of insurance that are out there, life insurance. And we'll start off with term insurance. Okay, very simple. It's just like it sounds. It's a term, typically anywhere from 10 years up to 30 years. And again, these are just examples. Basically, depending on the time frame you need for insurance, you speak with an insurance agent, a financial advisor, and they would run different quotes for you. And basically what it means is, and I'll make this up, let's say you have a need for a mortgage, for example. Let's say it's 20 years and you want to make sure that if something happens to you, that mortgage is paid off. So there's a great example of somebody may buy a term policy going, let's say 20 years. 20 years is when the actual mortgage would then be finished. You'd be paying it off. But let's say something happened to you within that time frame, you want to make sure that gets paid off for you, for your family, so that the house is paid off. Is you may go with the term insurance because, number one, it is the cheapest type of insurance. You have the insurance for the time frame that you qualify for. And again, for most insurance, you would need a physical, a medical, and also the records, doctor records that the insurance companies look at. And again, not all insurance, that's the case. But for a lot of people looking for, and again, it really depends on the amount of the insurance, you're looking at a physical and a review of the doctor records by the insurance company. Now, the reason I say it's the cheapest is because what ends up happening is, and I'll use this as an example, you go ahead and you buy the insurance and it's 20 years and you pay your premiums. It may be every month, every year, every quarter, and that's something that you would set up with the insurance company, and that would be the premiums, the money that you are paying to have this coverage. And what ends up happening is at the end of the term, it's over. In other words, you're paying money just in case something happens so that there is this death benefit. If something happens to me, let me make something up. Let's say it's $200,000. My mortgage is that. And at my passing, that $200,000 is now a benefit that goes to my family, income tax free, that they have the opportunity at that point to go ahead and take that money that they're getting as a death benefit and pay off that obligation, that loan, that mortgage. Now, notice I said it's income tax free. So when I pass away, that's how my family gets it. Now, again, depending on the situation, maybe it's a state that has a lower estate tax level and I have insurance above that. It doesn't necessarily mean it's exempt from estate tax. So that's something where when you are talking with your financial advisor, it may make sense to have it in a trust. But again, that's a conversation for another day. The idea behind it is that benefit is received by the beneficiaries income tax free. Now, the reason a lot of people do this is, again, they want to make sure that, let's say, we want to have the house paid off, or maybe we're looking for a cheaper type of insurance so that I pass away, there's enough of a death benefit, and I'll make this up, let's say it's $1 million, so that then my family can use that money to go ahead and invest it and go ahead and take income from it to replace the income they're going to lose if I pass away. So for a lot of people, or let's say a business owner, let's say a situation where we're looking for a cheap version of insurance. So there's two owners of a business, and let's say one of them passes away, then there's the opportunity for the survivor to be able to use that insurance to pay, to get that complete control of the company, pay the family, if you will, the amount that was for the person who passed away. So in other words, it's kind of to protect business owners as well. And there's many different reasons to do it. But the reason I'm bringing this up is with that type of insurance, it is the cheaper version of the different insurances that are out there. But consider this, when it ends, it ends. So, I mean, there may be the opportunity to turn into permanent insurance, which I'm going to get to in a minute, or the ability to do another term or extend the term or whatever the situation is. There is no cash value, so it is what it is. It's simply there that if I pass away during that time frame of the term insurance, then the death benefit pays out. But if I live beyond that, let's say the 20 years, and I hope I do, then again, if it's not renewed or another term is put in place or turned into permanent insurance, then there is no death benefit. So again, it's just an opportunity to have insurance in place for a business owner, for a family as an opportunity to pay off a mortgage, or maybe as a way to get money as a death benefit to then go ahead investment for the ability to pull income from it, or have investments that they could utilize for income to keep the family having money coming in the home so that they're supported upon my passing, because again, my income would then not be there, unfortunately. So that's the easiest. Again, term insurance, just like it sounds like, whatever time frame it is, you pay the premium, and if something happens during that time frame, let's say I pass away, then there's a death benefit paid out. But again, if it's beyond the term, there is no death benefit. You're paying into what could be, if you will. Again, typically there would be an opportunity to convert it to maybe a permanent policy, which I'm going to talk about, or maybe establish another term for that insurance. Now, getting to whole life insurance, it's permanent. Now, think about what I'm saying here. Term is for a term, so I can live beyond that term. Let's say it's 20 years and I live beyond it. I'm still alive, but I don't have coverage. The idea with permanent insurance is just that for your lifetime that you have this insurance in place. So you're thinking, well, David, that sounds better to me. It's something where, you know, I don't have to worry about it ending and not having coverage. Here's the issue, though. And again, this is not a bad thing in any way. It does go for your lifetime, but it comes at a cost. It's more expensive to have that type of coverage. The nice thing, though, is you do have the ability for cash value. So internally, and let's utilize an example. So let's say a premium is paid every year, every month, every quarter, whatever the situation is. So inside of this whole life permanent policy is what the premium is paid. A portion goes toward the cost of the insurance. The remaining amount goes to whatever the internal investment is. It could be a fixed interest rate. It could be, say, an index where it has the opportunity for growth. Now, I want to bring up this point. It's very important that we talk about the tax issues with that. Now, the monies that are inside growing in this whole life permanent policy grow tax deferred. And I've seen too many advertisements out there or social media where they say it's all tax-free, it's all tax-free. Well, no, no. The growth is tax-deferred. So if you pull money out of a whole life policy, the cash value, there's a tax to that. there's that money would be taxed because it's tax deferred. But what people are referring to when they say tax-free is the ability to borrow. So for a lot of these policies, what people end up doing is they would borrow against the policy, and that is tax-free. The ability to borrow is tax-free. Now, again, there would be an interest rate. The insurance company would say, okay, to borrow against the cash value. And usually there's a percentage that you can borrow against the cash value in a permanent policy. Now, there's an interest rate. So that's something where you're being charged interest. There isn't a taxation for that loan because it is a loan. It's not a withdrawal. It's a loan against a policy. And what ends up happening is upon your passing, any outstanding loan would then reduce that death benefit. So any outstanding loan that you have out there, whatever the death benefit is, it would be subtracted out. And that remaining amount would be the death benefit that would go to the named beneficiaries. Now, for a lot of people out there that want the opportunity for something permanent, something for the rest of their life. They don't want something where it could expire, but they also like the opportunity to have cash value in the actual insurance itself so that there could be a growth component, there could be the opportunity to grow that money internally and the opportunity to borrow against that policy. You're paying an interest rate, but there is no taxation, where if they would have just taken a withdrawal from the policy, being that was tax deferred, I should say, then there would be a tax due on that withdrawal itself. Now, another type of permanent policy is universal life. And let's talk about this. This is an insurance, a permanent insurance, where you have investments. So they can be in the stock market. They can be something that you're looking for growth. You're looking for something that you have the opportunity to put money in, grow that money. And for a lot of people, they max out their 401k. They're looking for an opportunity to have a policy that would provide them growth opportunities. Again, it's tax deferred, but can utilize this as having the death benefit, but also having the ability for the internal investments. And again, it is variable. So the different types of investments that are in there give you upside potential. You know, what is the risk? The risk is it's in the market, and depending on what it's invested in, will do as well as the investments are that you put them in. Now, what's the positive based on that is, you know, this would be something if it's long term, which it should be. If you're doing something like this, you want it so it's for growth, for the opportunity, for that death benefit, but you are building up your cash value. And then also going into what is called variable life. Now, this is another type of permanent policy that you have the ability to invest in different sub-accounts or different types of investments that are in the market, just like mutual funds. Now, with this, again, you have the death benefit, you've got your cash value, but it gives the ability for people that want that ability to grow it, the ability for taking on more risk, you know, rather than an index where you typically are capped, this would give you the opportunity for higher returns. Again, where's the risk? The risk is the other side of it, that if the markets don't do well for you in the different investments that you put the money in there, then the problem is, you know, it's going to underperform. But again, that's the something where you'd want to lean on your trusted financial advisor to have the conversation. And again, for all of these, you have to qualify for them. And the other thing too, I want to make a very important point is with universal life, something I didn't talk about before, and a lot of people like this, is the ability to adjust the premium. So for somebody that, let's say, wants to pay a little bit less, whatever, or adjust it in a way that, you know, depending on what their needs are, they have the opportunity to do so. And now consider this, like, you know, for term, like we were talking about, the premium is what the premium is. You pay that amount or you risk that there could be a lapse, where the universal life provides that flexibility that you could, let's say, for example, you've built up enough cash value in the policy itself that you would have the ability to have the cash value that's in there pay for the premium or portion of the premium. Again, the idea behind it is the flexibility of being able to have a lesser payment or providing a lesser payment for the premium. And again, it's for a lot of people, maybe there's a time where the cash flow isn't as great for them and they want to be able to pay less. So, you know, it does provide the opportunity to be able to set it up in a way that they can control. I think that's the best way to put it. They can control the premiums that they're putting in there. And again, the more cash value, let's say the accounts, the internal mutual funds, if you will, are performing well, then you'd have more cash value and utilize that as an opportunity to pay into some of the premium that you're paying on a regular basis. And just one final insurance, and this is important for a lot of seniors that are looking for a cheap insurance for final expense or burial needs. There's a lot of policies out there that do not require any sort of physical. And what is the idea behind it? It's there that they pay into this policy so that if something happens to them, all of the funeral costs are taken care of. And for a lot of people, for their estate planning, setting up what they're trying to do when they pass is they don't want to put that burden on the family to have to pay those expenses. They would rather have a separate policy there for just that. You pay into it, there wouldn't be the need for a physical, which again, we were talking about before. A lot of the insurance that is out there, you would have to have a physical, a review of the medical records. And for a senior that may, you know, that would be, could be a challenge for them to get qualified for an insurance, and they're looking for something that is relatively cheap, but yet does what it needs to do in that it pays the funeral costs. That would be final expense insurance. And one last point I wanted to bring up with permanent insurance, whole life insurance, there are so many different types in the, like I talk about this a lot, where there is permanent insurance, whole life insurance, where there may be the ability for a rider, meaning, and I'll make up a number, let's say the death benefit is $300,000, but you're paying a fee, if you will, that let's say you need to tap into that long-term or into that death benefit for long-term care, you could do so. And again, it would be a certain amount per month. You can't just pull the whole thing out. It would have to be X amount per month that you qualified for that could be utilized for long-term care. And I see a lot of people doing that where they're saying, you know what, David, I want an insurance that'll last my life. I don't want something that, you know, will end at some point, but I want it for the rest of my life. I want the ability for investments internally to grow it, grow that cash value, the possibility of taking a loan from it, that it would be tax-free. Again, you'd pay an interest rate on the loan, but it provides them a lot of different options for the insurance. What I like to say to people is when you are looking at your situation, again, this is the job of a financial advisor, is to sit down with you to say, okay, based on your situation, this is what we are going to need. And typically what ends up happening, it's different types of insurance are good for different things. Like what we were talking about before with the term insurance, it's the most inexpensive. It serves its needs. And there's also what is called decreasing term. And what do I mean by that? That's where, let's utilize an example. Let's say I have a 30-year mortgage, and let's say it's $200,000. Now, of course, what happens over time as I make these payments? Well, my loan amount will go down because I'm paying into some principal over time. So eventually, if I had the house and the loan for 30 years, it would pay itself off. But decreasing term is just that. It would be the amount, the death benefit would lessen over time. The idea behind it is so that it'll handle paying off the mortgage, but also would be less expensive than having something that is a level death benefit for that period of time, because you're not going to need that much, the $200,000, 15 years later, because that mortgage payment, or I should say the loan, would be less than that $200,000 because you have been making the payment. So what I always tell people is, based on your scenario, there is an insurance that would be appropriate, and you can tailor it to the way that makes the most sense. But lean on your financial advisor to have that conversation. And again, I appreciate, like always, people listening to this podcast, coming up with great ideas for future podcasts. But I just wanted to get into basic insurance. And when I say basic, the five different types that are out there. And again, there's a lot more. But when I say that, like common types of insurance, when I'm talking term insurance, I'm talking whole life, universal life, variable life, we're talking final expense insurance, all the different ones that are out there. I was also talking about decreasing term, which is great for a mortgage, so that, again, if something happens, and I use myself as an example, I pass away, that insurance is taken care of, and the death benefit decreases over time, but you set it up in a way to make sure that that's completely paid off. And again, for income replacement, I see a lot of people utilize the term insurance so that there is a sizable death benefit. And again, I'm going to utilize an example. Let's say it's $1 million worth of coverage. I'm paying the least amount that I can, or I'm trying to, so that if something happens to me, that $1 million is going to be the principal, if you will, that I can then invest to be able, so my family could draw income from it or invest it in a way so it is a supplement, if you will, to the income that is lost because I've passed away. So, and that's important. And I see for a lot of people, they don't do this correctly or they don't have the conversation. And unfortunately, a lot of financial advisors, they may overlook this piece of it. They may have the investment set up. Maybe there's been a 401k rollover. They're investing retirement assets. They're setting people up in a way that they're taking care of that end of it. But what they're not taking into consideration is if something happens to either of the parents, the people that are making the money, and the family, what do we do? How do we handle that? What's the replacement? And it is an asset. If you think about it, especially with permanent insurance, it is an asset like your other assets, your stocks, your bonds, your mutual funds. It's an asset that needs to be part of your whole picture. And even if it's term insurance, eventually if something happens and you pass away during that term, there is that dollar amount, that income tax-free benefit that is now part of the equation. And again, a good financial planner plugs all that in to say, okay, we got to look at all the different scenarios. We got to look at your investments, but we also need to take a good look that if something happens to the individuals in the family that are producing the income, that have monies coming in the home to pay the bills, well, what happens if one of those individuals passes away? We have to account for that. So again, like always, thank you for listening to this podcast. So again, for anybody out there that has some great ideas for a future podcast, how do you get a hold of me? Let me tell you, 732-902-7880. And of course, you can visit us at shorelinewealth.com. We have offices in Manchester and Manahawkin, New Jersey. I want to thank you so much. Have an amazing week, and I look forward to speaking with everybody next time. Take care.